Manx Radio's update with Christian Jones.
Fast to my good afternoon. It's 5 o'clock on Wednesday, the 10th of September. I'm Christian Jones and this is Update. Welcome into 30 minutes of all the latest news, sport and travel compiled from the resources of Manx Radio's newsroom on the way tonight. As the island marks World Suicide Prevention Day, we hear about a rise in suicides over the past 5 years. Meanwhile, a new business is helping transform printed materials for those with visual impairments. And FC Isle of Man has suffered a fifth straight defeat in the NWCFL Premier Division. All those stories and more for you on the way. If you want to say hello, text WhatsApp to 166177. Email me at studio@manxradio.com. First of all, though, let's get the latest with Siobhan Fletcher. Fast to my.
Relatives and loved ones of those who've lost their lives to suicide on the Isle of Man will take part in a symbolic walk through Douglas from 7:45 this evening. Today marks World Suicide Prevention Day. We've been hearing about how on the Isle of Man, 68 people took their own life between 2020 and 2024. The Patient Quiet Lounge at Liverpool John Lennon Airport will now be staying in its temporary location permanently. Funded by the Manx Breast Cancer Support Group, the facility is a place where those travelling to and from the UK for treatment can sit privately whilst waiting for their flights back to the island. The Deaf Minister says it's important government gets it right when it comes to protecting the island's heritage. It says 13 Manx landmarks were given protected status earlier this week. Here's Claire Barber.
You only get one chance to protect our history, because once it's gone, it really is gone. And I think it's very important that we recognise those buildings that absolutely are the ones that I want my kids to see and my grandkids to see, and for them to be preserved for the future of our island.
And FC Isle of Man suffered a fifth straight defeat last night as the Ravens slipped to a 3-1 loss at Cheadle Town. The result leaves FC Isle of Man at the bottom of the NWCFL Premier Division table. Further afield, Russia insists it had no plans to target Poland despite its drones flying into NATO airspace overnight. Former Premier League referee David Coote has been accused of making an indecent image of a child. He'll appear in court tomorrow. Fires have started in Paris, where protesters under the banner of Block Everything are opposing the French president's leadership. And Forbes' real-time billionaire list shows a new man at the top. Larry Ellison from cloud computing giant Oracle has overtaken Elon Musk. They're your headlines. I'll be back with your news at 6.
Good morning. Thank you very much for that, Siobhan. Let's take a look at the weather now, brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. Rain will clear around 6 o'clock this evening, so around an hour's time, leaving the rest of the evening dry with some late brightness. Perhaps not if you're in Douglas, though, if you're seeing what I'm seeing. But there also will be some fresh to strong westerly winds. Then the night will be dry, clear, rather breezy, minimum temperature of 12 degrees Celsius. There is a yellow weather warning, which is due to be coming into effect from half midnight tonight. That's for coastal overtopping and inner harbour flooding. The areas likely to be affected for coastal overtopping is Castletown Promenade, Shore Road Rushen and the northern end of Douglas Prom, and also some inner harbour flooding at Back Hope Street, Castletown, and to a lesser extent, the Tongue in Douglas. Tomorrow, though, we'll see plenty of sunny spells, just a few scattered showers, blustery showers too, breezy, although fresh to strong. West or southwest winds will ease towards the evening and maximum temperature of 16 degrees Celsius.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674 573 or visit the showroom on the Snugborough Trading Estate.
Ambitions Recruitment Consultants, covering all business sectors in the Isle of Man. Register online or email your CV to info@ambitions.co.im or ring 614 841. Ambitions, for all your recruitment needs, however big or small.
One Architectural Design Company has particular expertise in achieving planning approval for a wide variety of projects, from landmark buildings to spectacular homes. Talk to the experts at Ellis Brown and get your project off the ground. For excellence in design, search Ellis Brown.
Patricia Wild Opticians is celebrating over 30 years of friendly, caring service in Farm Hill and Ramsey. Visit us for professional eye care with stress-free parking. Phone Patricia Wild Opticians on 813-977.
Elevate Rubber Cover from Rubber Roof Shop for one-piece flat roofing systems. No joins, no leaks. We also line commercial box gutters in one piece up to 60 metres with a 20-year written warranty against leakage. Call Rubber Roof Shop on 49667.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
5 minutes past five on Manx Radio's update. Welcome to the programme. Now, a warning before this next story deals with suicide. Today is World Suicide Prevention Day, and local organisations are raising awareness of the support available while remembering those lost. Volunteers were on Strand Street in Douglas, sharing information with the public today, and will be again on Saturday. The Samaritans say suicide prevention must be a priority for everyone, and that suicidal thoughts can be interrupted and lives can be saved. Deanna Douglas is from the Isle of Man branch and has been tailing Amy Griffiths more.
You don't have to be an expert on dealing with somebody who might be suicidal, but use your gut instinct, and if you think somebody is struggling, just talk to them, interrupt those thoughts, have a conversation, no matter how small. It can help. Talk about the weather, invite them out for a cup of tea, you know, ask them what time it is if it's a total stranger. You can use simple little things just to interrupt those thoughts and start a conversation.
And that's the thing, isn't it, with suicide? It is something that is preventable.
Yeah, we always say it's not inevitable. People don't know how to reach out. They don't know what to say. They don't know who to talk to. They feel like they're too far down the rabbit warren as such to get out. And it is, it's really hard for them. They're struggling. So it's good if you can go and start the conversation and break that cycle.
Deanna Douglas from Samaritan's Isle of Man speaking there. Well, on Saturday, 68 pairs of shoes will be displayed on Strand Street, each representing an island resident recorded by the coroner as having died by suicide between 2020 and 2024. Public Health's Isle of Man's Dr. Ross Keat has been speaking to Lewis Foster about those figures.
Both on the island and in England, there is certainly evidence that the COVID pandemic and the impacts of the COVID pandemic impacted negatively on people's mental health due to the stresses associated with that. And I think that over that period of time, there was an elevated number of people dying due to suicide. People might be aware of the Barber Talks initiative, and that programme of work was to try and support specifically men's mental health by breaking down barriers and enabling opportunistic conversations in an area where men feel maybe like they can open up a little bit more. That was very successful. We supported the barbers, offered training, and made sure that they were sufficiently safeguarded against any difficult situations or conversations that might have occurred. We have increased the scope of that now to include community gatekeepers. So that's not just barbers, we're looking at taxi drivers, shop owners, community leaders. And so they're now aware of warning signs such as withdrawing, talking about being hopeless or feeling like a burden. And by empowering these people to have those very brief conversations, the evidence shows that asking sensitively and listening to the concerns those individuals have can reduce distress and help people feel less alone.
Dr. Ross Keat, the Deputy Director of Public Health, speaking there. Well, as well as that display on Saturday, tonight bereaved survivors of suicide Isle of Man will host a Walk in Their Shoes march through Douglas, in which people are welcome to join. That'll be starting at 7:45 at the BG statue in Douglas Prom, finishing at Paramount City Cafe, where participants will be welcomed with a hot drink. And then a bus will be available to take people back to the sea terminal. Shirley Kane and Dan Dooley are from the mental health charity Edspace, and they're taking part.
Dave Higson from Bereaved Survivors of Suicide is going to read out a list of names, and then there's going to be a poem that was written by one of the mums of someone. He's going to read that out, and we're going to light candles for them, and then we're going to walk to Paramount, and we're all going to have a light baton. It's to support the bereaved, but it's also to show them that they're not alone. We've got their backs.
The walk is for anybody who's been affected by suicide, anybody who has even contemplated suicide, you know, come down. Remember those who have been lost, support the families, support your friends and work colleagues, support the island in general with mental health, and just take a stand together and come down and remember those people.
Shirley Kane and Dan Dooley. If you've been affected by anything you've just heard, then help is available over at manxradio.com/support.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
10 past 5 on Manx Radio's update. The Treasury Minister says government wants to rebuild the level of reserves the island held a decade ago. Dr. Alex Allenton has told a Timwald committee that spending pressures, including during COVID, have reduced them, but he says the aim is to restore them to previous levels.
We have, on the Isle of Man, been in the fortunate position of having significant reserves for a long period of time, but those have had to be drawn down on over the last couple of years, particularly in terms of some of the economic pressures that were faced with us. And we haven't got back to the situation necessarily of being able to put money back into those reserves. There are a couple of ways of doing that. One, obviously, is by generating interest on the reserves and then reinvesting that. The other is actually exceeding income over expenditure and being able to pay money back in. What we've seen recently by looking at the investment profile is we've managed to grow the reserves. The question is, in real terms, whether we can get back to the way reserves were before in 2018-19, and that's certainly our intention. It's important we have reserves. It's also really important, though, that we manage to finance government expenditure not at the expense of the local economy. So it's trying to get that balance right. But I'm fairly confident that with the plans we've got, we can stabilise reserves, which we have done, and then start building those up again in the near to medium term.
Treasury Minister Alex Allenton speaking there. You only get one chance to protect our history. Once it's gone, it's gone. The words there of Environment, Food and Agriculture Minister Claire Barber, as 13 island landmarks were granted protected status this week. They include viaducts and heritage railway sites, as well as 12th century bridges and Manx parliamentary buildings. Mrs. Barber has been explaining why these locations were chosen.
Some of these are very obvious ones, I would suggest, that people probably, in some cases thought were already protected, which we do find can be the case. But the team have been working through various buildings around the Isle of Man. They conduct an assessment. They look at the arguments for and against. And these were the latest ones to be recommended. And therefore, we've taken that process forward following a consultation with the owners, with people who are interested parties, and having not had anything come up in that led to us registering them.
Just what exactly is the kind of protection that this status gives these landmarks?
Essentially, when you go through any planning processes, there's an additional step that needs to be reached. Doesn't mean you can't do anything to them, but what they want to do is work with owners to look at how we preserve what makes that building special. And sometimes that's a certain part of the building. And in fact, we've recently looked at the legislation around registered buildings to give us a little bit more flexibility around some of those parts of the building that perhaps aren't the thing that makes it quite so special, because we recognise, just as with conservation areas, we've recognised sometimes it's the frontage that's the thing that is really important. And actually, if you want to change a window at the back, perhaps you don't need to go through quite such an onerous process. But what it does is it just gives that additional level of checking. It protects those buildings from being allowed to fall into disrepair. It gives us the powers, should that happen, to serve notices on owners, and also gives us additional powers in the ultimate situation where that doesn't happen, to ultimately take control of those properties in the public interest. So there's quite a broad number of powers, but I would always encourage anyone who finds themselves as an owner of a registered property to work with the team, because they really are there looking at how they can support owners to get to the right place and achieve what they're trying to achieve while still protecting that heritage and history of our island, because ultimately we are just custodians for a short period of time.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
Well, let's take a look on the roads to begin with. In Douglas, we do have those temporary lights on South Quay at the roundabout with the old Castletown Road and the bridge at 24 hours a day for patching works. Also in Douglas, temporary lights on Saddle Rose, 24 hours a day for wall repairs. Over in Braddon, we've got temporary lights on Braddon Rose, just up from the Braddon Bridge actually, for work on the entrance to a new residential development. Elsewhere in Peel, the Fenella footbridge across the harbour is now closed for maintenance work, and that closure will be in place for approximately 4 weeks. All businesses around the quay and the breakwater will remain open as normal though. Head on down to the steam packet. All is looking mostly good. The Manxman is a little bit behind schedule, not due in Douglas until 25 to 7. Aside from that, though, all good. And we'll take a trip down to the airport. The 7 o'clock EasyJet from Gatwick is delayed until 8:15. That's on the arrivals board. And then on the departures board, naturally, the 7:30 EasyJet to London Gatwick, also delayed, not due on the runway until 8:45.
Quayside Tyres and Service Centre with 1 year's free engine warranty from Castrol. Get more with Quayside.
Radio Caroline North is back on the air this weekend, and three lucky listeners will each win a quality Panasonic portable radio with FM and AM. That's the prize on offer in this month's competition. Our special guest broadcasters include Paul McKenna, so make a date to join us live aboard our historic radio ship, Ross Revenge. Our broadcast is sponsored by Turton Tower Woodland Cafe, and it's on Manx Radio, 1368 AM, online, on smart speakers and DAB, straight after Carnaby Street.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
Approaching 16 minutes past five, later this month, government will hold its annual public conference, and a key topic this year will be about how we get on and off the island. It'll be held at the Comus Hotel across the 23rd and 24th of September. There's set to be presentations and discussions about air and sea connections. Well, as that happens, it's been a year since the announcement of a new steam packet leadership team with the aim of driving what it calls strategic development. Chief Minister Alfred Cannon has been assessing the ferry operator's current position, as John Moss reports.
Since the Isle of Man government bought the steam packet company in 2018 for 124 million Tynwald approved pounds, there's been enormous public interest about how the packet runs its business. Well, to be blunt, how much it should cost to cross the Irish Sea, both in terms of the individual and commercial use. Many love the Manxman. Others think that the cost of travel is... The debate now has to include the cost of replacing vessels. The Mananan, for one, is heading towards retirement. When the shall we shan't we buy the packet debate was on, Alf Cannon was adamant then that buying was the right thing to do, and he told Tynwald members that.
We lost control because the steam packet company became the target of institutional investors, and with it came the opportunity for easy money. A monopoly business with a generous user agreement. An opportunity for debt, for finance, for a fast buck, for a big bonus, for a promotion, an investment return. Not to benefit the island, of course, but to benefit the international banks and the city institutions.
Now, some years after the sale, how does the now Chief Minister, Alf Cannon, view the packet's progress?
I think there has been, you know, that sort of period of purchasing the company, the board readjusting to its new ownership, if you like, and establishing that relationship between an arm's length body and the shareholder, and getting that proper understanding around its sense of purpose and what it's there for and how it needs to adjust its thinking as a board, as a company, not just about itself, but about how it properly integrates. And to be fair, I think both the board and the chief executive are working hard to connect with government at various levels. And as I say, how that future is pushed forward in terms of pricing, seat availability, etc., is under discussion.
Chief Minister Alfred Cannon speaking there, John Moss reporting. 18 minutes past five, a brand new island business is hoping to break down barriers by transforming printed materials into formats that work for people with visual impairments. Dot and Type offers professional braille transcription of any printed material, including menus, bills, letters, documents, and also has a line of customisable greetings cards too. Founder Tasha Molyneux-Smith says the idea came after spending many years working with the Education for the Island's Vision Support Service. She told Siobhan Fletcher more about her experiences with the student she spent 7 years working with, who is completely blind.
I basically followed her life journey for those 7 years. So from year 4 to year 11, there was a lot of time and experiences that we both went through together, and I could see where there was huge gaps in parts of her life. So for example, when we were in year 5, she received a party invite, and basically her friend handed it to her, but it was just in writing. So I quickly said, oh, can I borrow that? You know, I just need to braille over it. So I brailled over on sticky paper over the invite and handed it back to her. And she was so happy with that. She could read the details. She could read who it was from. She could read where she was going, telephone numbers. It was just something like that. It just really stuck with me. And from that day on, I just knew how important accessibility and inclusion was for these social situations that we don't always think about when you don't know someone that has a visual impairment.
Mm-hmm. I suppose, like, you're so right there. It's like, not, you're just not thinking about it. Like, that would have been so probably absolutely not malicious from that other kid.
Absolutely.
Because they're just thinking, oh, I'm inviting my friend to my party. But you just, it's one of those things where actually, unless you experience it or you work with anyone with a visual impairment, or, you know, you just don't think about it, do you? So
yeah,
it's,
you really don't. And so my business, it does greetings cards, documents, menus, utility bills. So I actually brailled a practice menu for her the other day from a business that I'm working with, and she was like, wow, this is amazing, this is the first time I've ever seen a menu. And things like that just really strike a chord with me.
And I suppose then, I mean, why do you think it's so important that we do that, you know, that we make sure that people feel included everywhere that they go?
Because I, you know, I don't feel like anyone should be left out purely because they're lacking a sense or they're missing one of their senses.
Tasha Molyneux-Smith, the founder of Dot and Type.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
Now, Peel Commissioners has agreed to investigate different options for keeping the coastal footpaths in the village safe. The local authority is in charge of the rights of way up to the boundary, and then it becomes the responsibility of the Department of Environment, Food and Agriculture. It also discussed a vision plan for the village, wheelie bin management, and a request for a Christmas market. Local Democracy reporter Emma Draper was at the meeting.
The commissioners have agreed to look at installing netting across parts of the path to help prevent rockfall, similar to what is along the coast road. It's also going to look into steel posts and fencing for the paths to protect walkers. Chair Hannah McKenzie said they are massively important for Port Erin, as some of them were used to get to the mines, and others are former main roads to and from the village. She added it's also key to get the issue sorted, as Port Erin is used on the majority of the advertising for the island. Clerk Jason Roberts said some of the costings had been drawn up, and Commissioner Jimmy Cubbon said if it can get a capital loan to be paid off for 30 years, then it's a task the local authority should take on. The board agreed to investigate some more options and additional costs. Also on the agenda was a discussion about a vision Port Erin plan for the village's future. The commissioners discussed their priorities for the next few years, which included a splash park, Station Road car park, Breagle Glen, and heritage signs for tourists. A splash park was decided as a top priority, but the board agreed serious work would need to be carried out to understand if it would be feasible, including water mains and electric outlets, as well as CCTV. Whilst walking and heritage signs were listed as a lower priority, but could be carried out quickly, the board agreed that officers should look further into the idea of water park and new signs. An update was also provided about the management of residential wheelie bins. The clerk said during summer, an intern had been chipping them with an RFID tag, which will allow the commissioners to monitor them. He added that the local authority used to give out bins in sequential numbers to manage which household had which bin and how many, but confirmed this hadn't been carried out for 20 years. It's hoped that the tags will allow the commissioners to track the bins if they go missing. Port Erin commissioners will next meet on Tuesday the 14th of October.
Local Democracy reporter Emma Draper with that report. Sport up next.
The 90s playlist is packed full of hits from this decade that had us raving to this.
I like to move it, move it.
Chilling to this. And partying to this. And if that's your kind of vibe, then you'll want to turn on, tune in and cop out with the 90s playlist hosted by me, Nicola Holt, every Saturday night from 10 only on Manx Radio.
Thank you, Nick. Let's turn our attention to sport, and FC Isle of Man's players have issued a rallying call to supporters to keep faith in them after the team suffered a fifth straight defeat in the NWCFL Premier Division last night with a 3-1 loss at Cheadle Town. In a passionate post-match interview with the club's media, players Dean Pinnington and Sam Bain said they all recognise results and performances haven't been good enough, and everyone at the club is trying their best to turn things around.
The second half was much better. First half was nowhere near good enough, just like the last few weeks haven't been good enough. And I'm sure everyone at home knows that as well. But I think in the second half we actually finally got together as a team and fought for each other for the first time in a while. It's a new group and everything like that. And I just think everyone outside of FCE, inside of FCE, we just need to stop. Like, we need to stick together, management included. Everyone's wanting to point the finger, this, that and the other. On my behalf, I'll take responsibility for not winning and not scoring goals. I'm not scoring enough, I'm not getting enough assists. That's my responsibility. I'm sure Beans, he'll have his own. All the players have put 100% commitment into this, and the negativity, things like that, for me personally, it doesn't bother me in the slightest. I don't care, and to be honest, it riles me up. I sort of like it, but I just think everyone should get behind us because we're representing the Isle of Man, so everyone should be getting behind us, and we want to go and win. We want to get 3 points for yous and for us.
Yeah, I agree. First half was nowhere near good enough. Sloppy goals like last week, but then second half, as Penny said, we did fight well, and as a group, which was what we need to do more of. And I think as a club and as an island and a community, we need to fight more of. There needs to be more positivity about it because we're putting in so much time and commitment. Everyone in the club, there's so many volunteers. And you've got to remember, none of us are getting paid. We're all trying. And you just need to get behind us. We're trying our best. On Saturday, we'll be at home, get down to the game, and we'll try and get you a win. We are trying, and we're together as a group. Management, team, staff, volunteers, everything. We're together as a group.
One thing I will say, when I see comments on that about Jonesy sticking up for the players all the time, he's doing that for us. And I think Jonesy knows, and I know, and we all know, it's not good enough. He's not doing it on purpose. He's doing it to try and stick up for us. And we all know through the fact it's our fault. We're the ones on the pitch playing the game. You can't go around blaming management. You can't go around blaming this, blaming that, blaming the ref. We're playing the game, so we're not good enough at the minute. So we will try our best to get better. That's all we can do.
And FC Isle of Man's next match will be at home against Charnock Richard, 6 p.m. on Saturday. We'll stick with sport. We can now say fastamai to Rob Pritchard.
Fastamai. Well, starting things off tonight, Manx Trials competitor Caitlin Adsett has finished fourth in this year's FIM Women's Trial World Championship. During the fifth and final round of the 2025 series in Geddington in the UK, Adsett took fourth and third place finishes on day one and two, respectively. As a result, she completes the championship with 236 points, just ahead of her fellow British competitor Alice Minter, who ends the campaign in fifth on 225. The second race last weekend was also the first time Adsett has been on a World Championship podium since two third place finishes during round three in Japan in May. This calendar year saw a change for the Isle of Man rider, who joined the Sherco UK team for the 2025 campaign, linking up with GB teammate Emma Bristow in the process. While winning the Trial GP Women's title this year is Spain's Berta Abayan, who tops the charts on 383 points. Completing the top trio are Andrea Safina Rubino of Italy on 342 and Denisa Pechachkova of Czechia on 241. Elsewhere, Isle of Man tennis player Billy Harris has continued his winning run with victory in his opening match at the Guangzhou ATP Challenger event. The world number 136 is through to the second round of the tournament after his opponent Denis Yevseyev retired from the match due to injury. Harris had taken the first set 6-4 and was 4-love up in the second before Yevseyev's withdrawal. He'll face Frenchman Arthur Guy for a place in the quarterfinals in the early hours of tomorrow morning. And finally, Isle of Man pro cyclists Max Walker and Sam Brand have been competing today on the Giro della Toscana one-day race in Italy this afternoon. Walker helped EF Education Easy Post to a top 10 finish, with his teammate Richard Carapaz crossing the line in ninth. Meanwhile, it's a slightly more challenging day for Brand and Team Nova Nordisk, as the squad weren't able to get any of its riders inside the top 25. Separately, fellow Manx rider Becky Story was due to be in action on stage two of the Tour Féminin Lardèche in France today. However, organisers took the decision to cancel the stage due to the ongoing Block Everything protest taking place across the country.
Good morning. Thank you very much for that, Rob. Well, that's it for Update this evening. Thanks very much to newsreader Siobhan Fletcher. Up next is Howard Kane with Spotlight. Stick around. After that is Michelle Kane sitting in for Chris Kinley with Greatest Hits. Windy after that with Country Roads. And then last but not least, Dave Moore has After Hours. Beth is back with you tomorrow. So until then, take time. Take care. Bye-bye for now.